Good morning, and thank you for tuning in here this Resurrection Sunday to Temple Baptist Church here in Asheville, North Carolina. I'd like you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 24. I'd like to read the first seven verses. Verse number one says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of the sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." Let's open a word of prayer. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much for dying for us. We don't deserve the sacrifice that was given for us on Calvary. Lord, thank you so much for what you put upon yourself for us. Lord, thank you so much for the resurrection and what it means to us. Lord, thousands and thousands of sermons, messages today will be on the resurrection. What an impact the resurrection has had on this world. Lord, I pray now today that we open our hearts to your word. Thank you for the truth that you live. Bless this service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We do have a special treat for you today. But first, I want you to think about that song, He Lives. We're going to sing that. And I want you to stand right where you are. I know if you have a bowl of cereal in your lap, that's okay. Put it to the side. And let's stand and sing He Lives.
I serve a risen Savior, He's in the world today. I know that He is living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy, I hear His voice of cheer. And just the time I need Him, He's always near. He lives, He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. See His loving care, and though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that He is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of His appearing will come at last. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. salvation to impart. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart.
All right, appreciate that good singing. Some of you may not have been up long enough to get those high notes, but Brother Worley did a great job there. Hope that was a blessing to you here on this Easter Resurrection morning. Let me just mention a few announcements. Again, hope you and your family are having a great morning and enjoying your time together as a family, as well as rejoicing in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please remember that all of our April services will be online, and we're going to be reevaluating in a week or two, Lord willing, about the month of May, just seeing how things go. But continuing through April, everything will be online. I hope that's been a help and a blessing to you. Don't forget, we would like to encourage your family, if you haven't already done so, even if it's just you and your wife or you and your husband, or if you have children or you're single at home there, take a picture, if you could, of your family and on this Easter morning or sometime today, this afternoon, and send it. You could send it to myself. You could send it to Pastor. You could send it to Ben Creed. You could go on our Facebook page. There'll be some information. You can go on there and look at a link that'll show you where you can send that. We'll try to do a video collage of that. Hope that'll be an encouragement and blessing there to you, all right? And let me encourage you and your family, if you could, maybe you've already done this, to read one of the resurrection chapters. Pastor read several of those verses this morning. You could read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, or John 20. Read it as a family. Read all of them, some in the morning, some in the evening. They're not that long. And rejoice in the resurrection there. Perhaps some of you, maybe you've had an early morning sunrise service of your own. Take a picture of that, and maybe you're never able to do that, and you could do that as a family. I've got a really quick three-question resurrection morning quiz for you, especially if you have children. See if you can figure this one out. Maybe some of you will have no problem. Who was the first person to see the risen Savior? Question number two, who was the first person to enter the empty tomb? And then question number three, who was the last person to see our risen Savior? That one may throw you a little bit there, but maybe you can have a little fun with that as a family as you read the Word of God. Please continue to pray for Don Austin. Some of you got the information through our prayer list there, a prayer phone call. Brother Don had some heart issues, was taken to mission, was there for a day or two, but Lord willing was supposed to be home yesterday. So trust Brother Don, you're home for Easter. Glad that you're doing well. Thank you for many who prayed. And then finally, for our teenagers and teen parents, moms and dads, I sure hope you've been letting your young people get in the Word of God, working them pretty hard here. Don't let them just sit around. I hope that they're spending some extra time in prayer, writing letters to missionaries, things like that. But I want to mention this. More information we'll give you probably on Wednesday. But mark your calendars, teens and teen parents. This coming Saturday, April 18th, there will be an online interactive youth rally through Servant's Heart Camp. You say, wow, how's that going to work? Well, I don't know either, but to go on the Servant's Heart Camp website, they've got information, they've got some linkage there, how you can do that. A lot of information, there's even prizes, there'll be preaching, games, it's pretty interesting. I'm going to be participating, and all that's for everybody. That's teens, moms and dads, college students, anybody in the church is welcome to go online there and do that. But that is this coming Saturday, April 18th, we'll give you some more information on Wednesday night.
Lavished on my soul at Calvary, only.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. What a great song. And thank you, Mrs. Washburn. Well, I hope you get your Bibles out now. I want to encourage you, get the Word of God out. And we're going to open God's Word, not right here. Dr. Bill is coming to us live from Ambassador Baptist Bible College. I'm so glad to have him to preach for us. We asked him, he was supposed to be here. With an ensemble, but it could not make it, of course, and so he said he would preach on video down there, and we were able to put it on our video and mix together. So we thank the Lord for technology, but thank the Lord for Dr. B. I also want to thank Chris Jury for helping us with this, and Jeremy Jones using his own camera and technology tools and spending a lot of time on Saturdays putting this together. We do appreciate you guys. And then Miss Lauren Boyer coming Sunday after Sunday playing the piano. Or Saturday after Saturday playing the piano. And so we're so thankful for them. Get your Bibles out and get ready for a message brought to us by Dr. Beal.
Well, happy Resurrection Sunday for you folks at Temple Baptist Church in Asheville. It's a delight to be a part of your Easter celebration. I apologize that it can't be in person, and I'm sure that all of you would like that as well. And hopefully the day will come soon that we'll all be able to meet with our congregations and be back together as a church family again. I totally understand that. As an evangelist over the last few weeks, I have really felt out of sorts. Number one, being at home much more than I normally am. However, I will admit I've enjoyed that very much, but not being able to preach to people in your presence as much as preaching to empty pews and to cameras. It's been an adjustment for us all. I'm sure it's been an adjustment for you at home, and it's an adjustment for us preachers as well. And but I hope that in the midst of everything that we've experienced, that while it seems like the celebration of Easter, the resurrection, has been dampened, I want you to know this, that I think it is more important today than ever for us to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You see, that truly is the message that brings hope and healing to a nation, to a family, to an individual, is the power of the resurrection of Christ. And so I hope that the message today, God will use it to divert your focus from all the news that we have heard in recent weeks, and to focus you on the most important news that anybody in the world needs to hear today. And that's on the subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I pray that you'll have a great time with family today, those under your roof. I know we can't make necessarily a lot of big family visits right now. And I pray that today will be a special day for you and your family as you spend time together, and but that as a family that you all will rejoice over the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is my hope and prayer for you today. So I thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to preach to you today. Thank you, Pastor Creed. And my prayer is that God would continue to bless the Temple Baptist Church in Asheville, and that He'd use the preaching of His Word to help you on this in this Easter season. I want you to take your Bibles and join me in turning to Philippians. The book of Philippians is where we'll be. Philippians chapter number 3. As we consider the subject of the resurrection of Christ today, I want us to look at Philippians chapter 3. Now you might be thinking, you say, now Brother Beal, this is not a resurrection chapter. I mean, why not 1 Corinthians 15? The Gospels talk about the resurrection, and those are rich passages. There's no doubt about it. But today I want to focus you on a reference to the resurrection in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, that if you're not careful, you will miss it. And I do not want you to miss the significance of what Paul says about the resurrection of Christ. You understand, there are many people in the world today that think that the resurrection of Christ is a mere fairy tale. But if your life has been touched by the power of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ, you understand that the resurrection is not just some far-fetched story, but it's an event, a historical event that has changed the lives of millions since it occurred 2,000 years ago. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10 is our text, and I want you to notice what Paul says. Paul says in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. And for the next few moments, I want to speak to you on this subject, the power of the resurrection. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul is talking about his past, how that he had achieved great accomplishment in the Jewish religion. But when it was all said and done, laid open and bare before Jesus Christ, he was nothing. And after he was saved, his desires and his aims in life changed, and one of them is indicated in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Paul, here you are. You're one of the greatest Christians featured in the New Testament. What do you want to do? Paul would say, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, I want to highlight for you that phrase, power of the resurrection, and I'd like to expound upon it for the next few moments. And I want you to understand that there is no event that will ever change your life like the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, when we think of the subject of power, a lot of times in our day and time, we think about electricity. We think about power, we think about electricity, they're synonymous. You folks in the mountains, you live in the mountains, you say, well, our power has gone off again. Here where we live in Shelby area, there's not a lot of mountains, but whenever the ice comes, we lose electricity and all of us go into convulsions because we're without some of the common necessities of life or what we think are necessities of life. But we think about power. We think about electricity. I remember as a kid growing up, I had a very vivid encounter with electricity. Now, I remember the first time that I ever touched an electric fence. Oh, I'll never forget it. I had the opportunity to be at a friend of mine's house. His name was Chris Foster. I'll never forget it because it was the first time that my parents had ever allowed me to spend the night at somebody else's house. And I'll be honest, as a kid, it was just a great liberating experience. I thought, wow, this is wonderful. And so that night, we got to Chris's house. We played basketball. We had all kinds of fun. We ate pizza more than we probably should have. But it was just a great evening. But I will never forget that evening. As we were shooting basketball, one of the kids shot an air ball. Chris lived in just a rural part of the country. And the ball didn't hit the rim, and it bounced at the base of the post, and it was shot through about 20 yards in the opposite direction. And I remember I was going to retrieve the ball, and as I was walking to retrieve the ball, I noticed the strangest thing. I noticed a strange thing. It had a pole that only had one wire on it. It was like a fence with one wire. Now, even though I was raised in the country, I'll tell you, I'd never seen a fence like this. And as a matter of fact, when I saw it, I said to myself, my soul, why in the world does somebody have a fence and it just has one wire? I don't understand that. I don't get that. It ended up that Chris's parents had a horse that they had fenced in. And they just had this one wire, and it was on the fence. And I saw the ball over on the other side of the fence. I thought to myself, boy, this is crazy. It's a waste of wire. It's a waste of a pole to have a fence like this. And I remember I swung my leg up over the fence, and I grabbed that wire with my hand. That was the first time in my life that I had ever grabbed an electric fence. If you've never done that before, let me give you some advice. Don't. But if you have, you know as well as I do, when you grab that fence, it grabs you. I will never forget that awful feeling of that electricity coursing up my wrist as I am trying to desperately get over that fence now as fast as possible. And I remember once I cleared the fence and I let go, I said to myself, wow. I went and I grabbed that ball, and I'll guarantee you, when I came back to cross that fence again, my attitude wasn't nearly as careless. I was very careful. If anything, I crawled under it or I jumped over it, but I didn't want to touch it again. Why? Because of the electricity that was coursing through that wire. Now, with that in mind, I want you to understand that just as we talk about electricity, grabbing a hold of the person such as in my case. You know, the same is true when it comes to the resurrection. I ask you this question. Has the resurrection of Jesus Christ ever grabbed your heart? If I could say it this way, has your life ever been touched by the power of the resurrection? Now, if you're watching this, you say, I have no idea of what you're talking about. Well, I'll promise you this at the end of this message. Hopefully, you'll know a little more about it. And please understand, as you're watching this today, listen to me. You can't afford to go another day, another week, another month without your life being touched by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul spoke of the power of the resurrection. And I want you to see that Paul was very qualified to talk about the power of the resurrection. Why? Because he had experienced it himself. If I might, in explaining the power of the resurrection, I want to divide it up into three ways that you can understand the power of the resurrection as the Apostle Paul did. Number one, I want you to see his remembrance of the resurrection. I could also say it this way, the past of the resurrection. When he refers to the resurrection, what is he referring to? The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5, and the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. Now that is only one of several gospel accounts referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's very clear He was crucified, He was murdered for you and for me, and now it is declared that He has resurrected. He is alive, He's not here, He is risen. Paul acknowledged the historical fact of the resurrection. Now, while the brunt of the message is not going to be given to this, let me say there are many people that are skeptical about the resurrection of Christ. Sad to say, it's not only atheists that are skeptical of the resurrection of Christ, but sad to say, liberal Christianity is skeptical of the resurrection of Christ. There are people that call themselves doctor and reverend and father, and you can imagine every title possible, that still yet refute, deny, or doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible very clearly gives us the accounts of His resurrection in the gospel. And it's important by faith to take God at His word. You know, if there's any doubts in your mind about the resurrection of Christ, I invite you to talk to Mary Magdalene and Mary. If there's any doubt in your mind, I encourage you to talk to His disciples who eventually would see an empty tomb and see a risen Lord talking to them and even eating with them. If there's any doubt in your mind, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 6 tells us that there were more than 500 people that saw the resurrected Lord. Several years ago, I was flying from a revival meeting in Ohio. I was flying from a revival meeting back home from Ohio, and I was flying out of a small town in Huntington, West Virginia. And I remember sitting down on the plane. I commonly like to talk to people who are sitting beside of me, and there was a lawyer sitting beside of me. I didn't know that until I asked him. After I sat down, he was very nicely dressed. I said, "Sir, what do you do for a living?" And he said, "Well, I'm a lawyer." And I said, "Wow, that's very interesting." And it was about the time of Easter, and as I was sitting there trying to figure out, what do you talk to a lawyer about? I'm sure that people sitting in a plane say, what do you talk to a preacher about, you know, when they find out they're sitting beside of a preacher. And so after a while, I looked at the lawyer and I said, "Let me ask you a question." I said, "You're a lawyer. If in a court of law an event happened and there were 500 witnesses, would people believe that story?" Well, as probably only a lawyer can do, I can remember him. He started giving me a long, drawn-out explanation. He said, "Well, you have to establish the veracity of the witnesses," which I believe means their truthfulness. And he said, "Once you've established the veracity of the witnesses, if all of them collaborate together, then it makes for a very compelling case." And I finally was like, "All right, listen, you've given me the legal jargon, you've given me the footnotes, basically yes or no." And he's like, "Yes, we would believe the story." And after telling him that, I looked at him and I said, "Do you know that there was an event that happened 2,000 years ago? More than 500 people saw it." He said, "What was that?" I said, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ." Turns out the man was a Christian, and he looked at me and he said, "You know, I never thought of that before. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 6, more than 500 people saw a resurrected Lord." Not only did 500 people see a resurrected Lord, listen to me, this is of great importance. The Apostle Paul met the resurrected Lord on the road to Damascus. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he heard these words, Saul of Tarsus uttered these words, "Who art thou, Lord?" And do you know that day, Saul of Tarsus met a resurrected Lord and it changed his life. I'll tell you the greatest question you can be asked on an Easter Sunday. Listen to me very carefully. Have you met the resurrected Lord? For me, it came when I was about 12 years old. In my childhood, I was raised to go to church Easter and Christmas. That was about it. Until I started riding a church van. I'll never forget the day I got saved. I was around the age of 12, and it was in my bedroom after a Sunday morning service. It was that afternoon. I was laying on my bed under conviction of the Holy Spirit, and that day I prayed to God. I knew that I was a sinner. I knew that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for my sins and also believed that He was raised again that I might have eternal life. And that day I asked the Lord to save me. Just as Saul had an encounter with the risen Lord on the road to Damascus, I had an encounter, so to speak, in my bedroom around the age of 12. I want to tell you, it's impossible for you to understand the power of the resurrection unless it's gripped your heart in the past. And my friend, if you go this day talking about Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and candy and nice dresses, and yet you don't have the reality of the resurrection in your heart and that you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, listen to me, you'll never know the power of the resurrection until you meet the risen Lord just as Paul did. You say, how do you meet Jesus today? Well, you'll not meet Him on a road to Damascus. You'll not leave this service and go outside in your yard and be struck down by a bright light like Saul of Tarsus was. But I'll tell you what, if you're going to meet the resurrected Lord today, you've got to listen to what He says. You've got to listen to what God tells you. God tells us things like this, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You know why I need a resurrected Lord? Because I am dead in and of myself. And once you realize that, you understand this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. We're not talking about some religious expression. We're talking about belief from the heart. And then you hear that blessed promise, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." My friend, if you're going to experience the fullness of a resurrection weekend, you've got to know Him as Savior. And once you trust Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Why is Paul speaking that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection? Because in the past, he'd experienced the power of the resurrection. In Acts chapter 9, we find that Paul met the risen Lord. He had met a resurrected Lord. And hence the remembrance of the resurrection. But not only do you see the remembrance of the resurrection, number two, I want you to see the reality of the resurrection. You see, the resurrection is not just a story that happened 2,000 years ago, but if you are a child of God, listen to me, that resurrection power ought to be working in your life right now. In 2020, whatever year it may be that you're watching this, understand it is to be a reality in your life now. What is Jesus doing in your life right now? The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 3 in verses 1 and 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." Now the first part of that verse gives us the condition, "If ye then be risen with Christ." It's impossible for you to be raised from spiritual deadness without Christ being risen. And if you're here watching this and you say, "Preacher, I am a Christian." If I asked the question and said, "How many of you are Christians?" Maybe hands in every living room, hands in churches would go up everywhere. You'd say, "I am a Christian." Listen to me, if you name the name of Christ, if you say, "I be risen with Christ," then because of that resurrection, the Bible says, "Seek those things which are above." I'm going to tell you what, I'm not only just saved by the resurrection, but the resurrection has a sanctifying power in my life. What is Jesus doing in my life right now? He is setting me apart. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Right now, with what we're experiencing in our country, people have noticed that their portfolios and retirements have dropped anywhere from 25 to perhaps 40%. People are very keenly aware that there's been financial loss. There's unemployment, more than we've perhaps ever seen in our lifetimes, if not, first time in a long time. And it's so easy to set our affections on money and an economy, but the Bible tells us that we're to set our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You say, what's going to help me through this financial crisis? I'm a Christian. I'll tell you what, the resurrection. You see, the resurrection points you to the heavenly. The resurrection says, live like Jesus, not the world. The resurrection says, follow Jesus. You know, I'm afraid that we're guilty of a horrible thing. You say, what is that? A lot of times we sing a song like, He Lives. Don't you like He Lives? I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. We sing that song. It's perhaps one of the most used songs in churches. He lives, He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. One of the most used songs, especially on Easter Sunday. And it's sad when we sing a song like, I serve a risen Savior, and yet we are in love with a fallen world. We sing songs like, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through, but our lives are totally different. Let me tell you how the resurrection ought to be working in our lives right now as Christians. It ought to be teaching us to set our affection on things above. It ought to teach us to seek those things which are above. Why? Because we have been risen with Christ. When Paul's speaking about the power of the resurrection, he's not just talking about a power that saved him from hell. He's talking about a power that is delivering him in life. You just remember this, Christian. A person denies the resurrection, they're denying the very power that's changed your life. So we see the past of the resurrection, the remembrance of the resurrection. When Paul said that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, that began when he trusted Jesus on the road to Damascus. But then you see the reality of the resurrection. What does the resurrection do for me now? One among many things that it does is it sanctifies me. It tells me to live for God, not for myself. If I'm risen with Christ, I ought to set my affection on things above. Christian, if you're here and you're watching this and you're not where you ought to be with God, let me tell you something, friend. Then you need to let the resurrection work in your life. The same power by which you were saved is the same power that can transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. Instead of fighting it and resisting it, yield to the power of the resurrection. But the last thing, the last aspect that I believe Paul speaks very authoritatively on in his writings is that he talks about the riches of the resurrection. While Paul wrote in Philippians 3 that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes about the riches of the resurrection. If you would, for a moment, just turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to see just a very small portion of the riches of the resurrection. Now, there are chapters of the Bible that are known for specific themes, and when those themes are mentioned, our minds automatically go to those passages of Scripture. For instance, if I mention to you Exodus chapter 20, people would think, well, that's the Ten Commandments. If I mention Genesis chapter 1, people would say, well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If I mention Psalm 23, many of you would say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But if I mention to you 1 Corinthians 15, what would go through your mind? If you're here and you're reaching for an answer, you're like, I'm not sure what would go through my mind. Let me tell you, when you read all 58 verses, you come to the conclusion that it's a chapter about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want you to notice with me in verse 51, and I'd like to read for just a moment. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus, through our Lord Jesus Christ." At the end of the chapter, we read about there's coming a day in which the dead shall rise at the last trump. 1 Thessalonians tells us of the same event, says the dead in Christ shall rise first. But do you know what this future event is rooted in? It's rooted in the first half of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says in verse 10, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Simply put, Paul said, if this is wrong, everything in our past, everything in our present, and there's certainly no hope in the future, it's all for naught. But it's at the end of 1 Corinthians 15 that Paul talks about a better day, when death is swallowed up in victory, when our vile bodies are changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, without the resurrection there'd be no eternal life. Without the resurrection, there would be no resurrected body. I know there's a lot of things that we look forward to in eternity, and I hope that all of us would say, all who are saved, you would say this. You would say, the thing that I look forward to in eternity is seeing Jesus Christ and being with Him forever for all eternity. And that ought to be your greatest desire. But I will tell you, there are some things that we probably all look forward to that it may not be the greatest reason, but yet it's a reason to anticipate, and one of those is a resurrected body. You know, there are some of you that are listening, you say, boy, the older I get, the warranties are failing on everything in my body. This is wearing out, and I don't know what to do. Some of you think, well, my joints ache, my vision's not as good as it used to be. My energy level has waned greatly. And your body's getting old. It's getting weary. It's getting tired. It's getting worn. But do you know, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's a promise, not just a might so, but a promise, that one day you're going to get a resurrected body. This corruptible will pass off the scene, and we will put on incorruption. You know why you're able to look forward to that if you're a child of God? I'll tell you, it's not because of any talent or any amount of money that you have. It's because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that there was power in the resurrection. Why? Because he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He knew there was power in the resurrection. Why? Because God had taught him to turn his eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth would grow strangely dim, to set his affection on things above. And Paul knew the power of the resurrection that he had not even tasted of yet. He knew there was coming a day where he would experience eternal life in heaven, and that he would experience a body that was resurrected, that was new, that was incorruptible. I want you to know the power of the resurrection too. It's hard to believe, but did you know that Easter is one of the two most commercialized holidays of the year? Many people don't realize that, but it's true. Did you know that the two most commercialized holidays of the year are Christmas and Easter? And I don't think that's by mistake. I think it's part of the devil's diversion. You say, are you against celebrating those things? No, but I'll tell you what I am for. I am for both remembering the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can have everything else, but if you don't have those things, you have nothing. As we close, I want to ask you a question. Could you imagine life without electricity? There's some of you lose power and you about lose your mind. I want you to think with me, life without electricity, how hampered would you be? How different would your life be? I'll tell you how different it would be. Could you imagine, ladies, life without electricity, no hair dryers? With having a daughter who's a teenager and my wife, who I've been married to for 25 years, I've learned a thing or two about hair dryers. I've learned they're essential. Could you imagine life without electricity? Now, please, don't let this take your breath away, but if there were no electricity, no smartphones or tablets, could you imagine that? There may be some of you that hopefully in this homebound season that you've lived in, maybe you've put those devices down a little bit and actually looked across the room and realized, hey, I do have a family. But those smartphones, what we do with them, we check our email, and I was going to say check sports scores, but right now there's nothing going on as far as that's concerned. Could you imagine life without electricity? No TV, no microwaves. For some single fellas, that's how they live, a microwave. Imagine life without electricity. There'd be no video games. For you teenagers that are listening, that probably spend way too much time, and maybe you've spent way too much time in recent days. But could you imagine? I've seen videos where a parent would take a console, a video game console, from a child, and it was akin to murder. Could you imagine life without electricity? You'd have no air conditioning, no heat. To be quite honest, you'd just say, I tell you, life without electricity would be miserable. But as we close, I want to ask you, could you imagine a life without the resurrection? I'll tell you what, a life without the resurrection is far worse than a life without electricity. You say, no hair dryers, no TVs, no air conditioning. Listen to me. Do you know what a life without the power of the resurrection is like? No forgiveness. Going through the rest of your life with guilt and a weight that you can never dispense of. Life without the power of the resurrection, there is no peace. There is no joy. There's no stability in life without the resurrection. There is no future to look forward to without the resurrection. I may be speaking to some of you. You say, I'm just living day to day. I have nothing to look forward to. I promise you, if you'll let the power of the resurrection touch your life and salvation, it'll change your perspective. But perhaps the most fearful thing about a life without the power of the resurrection is that there's no hope. You know, in the day in which we live, there's just people, a lot of people, they're looking for a little hope. They're looking for a little ray of sunshine. They're looking for a way out. They're looking for something that would help them to go forward and have purpose in life. My friend, if you're watching this today, I hope you'll understand that life without the power of the resurrection is miserable. It's empty. And the same power of the resurrection that touched Saul of Tarsus's heart is the same power that can transform your life and, my dear Christian friend, not only save you from hell, but conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. We all need to be touched by the power of the resurrection. Now I want you to bow your heads with me just a moment. I know you're watching this in a remote setting, but I don't care whether you're in a church auditorium or you're in your living room, you need to take some time to think about what you've heard. My friend, do you remember the time in your life where you were touched by the power of the resurrection when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you remember that, it ought to comfort your heart. My friend, if you don't, listen to me. You can't afford to go another day unmoved and untouched by the power of the resurrection. And if that's you today, God gives you an invitation. Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. That's God's call to you, my friend. I may be speaking to others here today and you'd say, Brother Bill, I know I'm saved, but I'm not living for God. I know I'm not where I need to be. Listen to me. Easter needs to be more than a holiday to you. My friend, the resurrection needs to be a lifestyle. Set your affection on things above. And I could be speaking to a dear older brother or sister and you say, do I have much to look forward to? If you're a child of God, listen, one day you're going to receive a resurrected body. And you'll spend all eternity with Jesus. I'll tell you, where would we be without the resurrection? Father, Lord, we take a moment on this day to thank you for the power of the resurrection. It touched the life of the Apostle Paul. And Lord, you want it to touch our lives as well. And so, Father, I pray that as Paul of old, we would say that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And that You'd use that power to transform lives that are under the sound of my voice this moment. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.